So good to be with you this morning on this rainy morning. But you can tell fall is in the air, right? You can just feel it, maybe. I know typically I don't do the children and youth moment at 8:30 service, but I thought today, why not? Right? The title of the sermon is The Wisdom from Hedgehogs or something like that, and I need to tell you about hedgehogs before I get into this sermon. This is one of those Beanie Babies, those trendy things that you gave your kids back in the 90s. We still have a whole bunch. We have a hedgehog Beanie Baby. You know, when I was in Italy, at the small hill town, I went into this wine cellar, and the name of the wine was called The Hedgehog. They have hedgehog wineries there. And the story behind this hedgehogs is that they have this wisdom and they have all this foresight about the weather and things like that. So I did a little research this week on the wisdom of hedgehogs, and maybe they're right. I want to share with you a legend that comes down from Native Americans. It's been passed down for centuries about hedgehogs. There was a time in the world when the world was getting colder and colder and colder. And there was some threat that all life, plants and animals, would die out from the freezing cold. So they needed to do something. Well, the hedgehogs thought of the idea first. They thought, well, let's conserve body heat, right? Let's all get together. If we all get together, we'll all stay together and we'll be warmer together than apart. So that's what they did. But there's a problem with hedgehogs. They're spiny. They're prickly, right? So when they got together, what happened? They began to poke each other, and they started to bleed, and they started to not, you know, they were very, it's a good idea to get together, but if you're all prickly, it's not such a good idea. They began to argue, and sometimes they would jockey for position. You know, when you jockey for position, you have quills all over you, you end up hurting someone else around you. So they did that for a while, and then they thought, we've had enough of this, let's separate. So they did, and guess what happened? They started to die from the cold. So they had a meeting. All the hedgehogs on the earth got together and said, look, if we're going to face this cold and we're going to survive this freezing weather, we have to get along. We got to come together. Even if we're a little prickly and we stab each other, we have to learn to forgive each other. We have to adjust and compromise because we need to stay together. Even if we're a little prickly, if we're going to survive the cold. And that's what they did. Of course, the legend says that's why we have hedgehogs today. That's why all the animals got a tip from that, all the hedgehogs and what they were doing, and decided to do the same thing. There's some lessons from that legend, right? There's a few in there. It's about getting along with prickly people, maybe. Or there's something about not always trying to jockey for our own position or to, you know, for ourselves to keep warm. We have to think about the whole group. That somehow salvation or saving ourselves involves saving everyone else. Something to learn from these hedgehogs. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts here, be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is a reading from Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on God's law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their lives do not wither, their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And this reading from James, it's kind of pieced together from the lectionary, lots of bits and pieces, but I think they did a pretty good job of it. James writes from chapter 3, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and you do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your own pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and God will and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are struggling these days because we are searching for wisdom. We're searching for it in a person. We're searching for it as parents and grandparents, as children, as students. We're searching for wisdom. We need it every day, and we need the long view. We need some wisdom for the future. And so give us some insights into wisdom as we explore this passage from James. Give us some insight. And if we can take that insight, just take it away for tomorrow. Help us to use it and to remember it and to honor one another by sharing our wisdom with each other. And be with us now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Over the years of preaching, I have often avoided preaching on the letter of James. It's the one book I've kind of tried to get around by preaching other texts. I think my reluctance in James is that James is always telling me what to do, and I don't like to be told what to do. Maybe some of you are like that. I just don't like always being told, kind of a nagging voice there in James, this is what you do and this is what you don't do. You know, I'd rather have kind of a moralistic legend about hedgehogs to ponder, or a parable of Jesus to kind of figure out. But all this kind of nagging, like this is what you're not doing and this is what you should be doing, that kind of gets on my nerves sometimes. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Don't let your anger overwhelm you. Don't boast. Don't show favoritism. Don't blame the poor. God gave them to you to care for, and be doers of your salvation. That is James in a nutshell. Do this. Work at it. Be a doer of your salvation. And yet, James' lists of do's and don'ts in some ways remind me of my mom, just a little bit, back when I was a kid. You know, your mom said to you, make your bed, wash your face, wash the car, eat your dinner, mow the lawn. That one stung the most. And yet, at the very end, and then my mom would always say, and do these things with a smile on your face. Do it joyfully. Do your chores joyfully. When James wrote in chapter 1, verse 2, "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy," my mom could have written that. She always wanted me to do my chores with a smile. I remember as a kid mowing that backyard. My dad had this theory that a power mower didn't teach you anything, but a push mower made you a man. So as an 8 or 9 year old, I'd be out there struggling, pushing that push mower, the blades spinning or not, getting caught up in the wet grass. I remember one time I fell on the ground, I protested, I banged the turf with my fists. My face grew red, I was angry, and I decided to give my mom a speech. I marched up to her, I think she'd been watching me. She had an amused look on her face. I said to her, "Mom, let me mow the lawn, but let me complain." She laughed. I think I laughed a little bit too, and today we still laugh about that story. You know, I can see it in my mom's eyes. I can hear it in James' voice as he admonishes the early church, whether it's mowing the lawn or fighting for justice or parenting children who like to complain, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy. But that's so hard to do. It's hard to be happy about always being ethical or always fighting for justice. What's curious about this morning's text, though, and I hadn't noticed this before, is that James seems to be pointing to something greater than just telling us what to do or not to do, or doing it joyfully or not. It's this matter of wisdom. What is wisdom? What it isn't? How to find wisdom? How to recognize it in some people? Who has it and who does not? Who is wise, James writes? Who is wise and understanding among you? Show your good life, that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. And then after this question and statement, James goes on to delineate between this wisdom that comes from above and an earthly wisdom which is all around us. He makes a contrasting comment about wisdom, a wisdom found in leaders, a wisdom found in people we respect who bring people together, wisdom found in resolving community problems, and that other kind of wisdom which is all about us. A wisdom that, you know, maybe we need to get ahead of someone else, or stand apart from the community, or advance up the ladder. That's what James' point is. There's this wisdom that's all about caring for each other and surrounding each other with care, and this wisdom which is about jockeying for position. And that's why I talked about the hedgehog legend, because that's what this is about. It's the lesson we learned about those prickly hedgehogs. If we are facing a difficult trial, if we are facing the cold, facing dark times or confusing times, or facing death, we have a choice to make, James says to us. We can go our own way. We can make our own decisions, plot our own course, try to avoid prickly people, try not to become a prickly person. Or we can learn the value of compromise. We can learn the value of working together or tolerating one another or learning from each other or caring for each other. Which will you decide? That's what James asks us. Will you go this way or will you go this way? In other words, you can die fighting off the cold if you're fighting it by yourself, trying to carve out your own position, proving your point, fighting for your turf, fighting for your own self-interest, fighting to defend your opinion, or you can learn to care for each other around you, those people around you. And this act of caring, compromising, and showing gentleness and mercy toward another person, according to James, is wisdom. This week, as many of you know, Joyce Kearns passed away. Maybe some of you didn't know. Wednesday morning, Forrest went downstairs and Joyce was on the floor. She'd had a stroke. And so from early Wednesday morning through, I guess, early Friday morning, maybe 1 in the morning, a lot of people from this church went and visited with Joyce and spent time with Forrest. We will have a memorial service here in a few weeks. I'll let you know about that. We'll come together and we'll celebrate Joyce's life and offer her into God's hands. We'll do all that. But what amazed me this week is between Wednesday morning And late Thursday night or Friday morning, all the people from this church that went over to UVA Hospital to pray with Joyce, to sit in the ICU with Forrest, some people gathered around Joyce's bed and sang hymns. A lot of people went over there, even at midnight. People were still hanging around with Joyce and Forrest, letting them know we love them. That's what wise hedgehogs do. That's what they do. They set aside jockeying for their own position, they set aside their own priorities, and they stick together. Especially when the cold is all around us, or there's some uncertainty, or death, or grief seeks to overwhelm us, we stick together. These days, maybe you're like me, I just want someone wise to stand up and make sense of it all. I want a person to stand up and to chase away the darkness with his or her words. I want someone to give me good advice on the stock market, whether I should sell or keep it or buy. I want a keynote speaker or a pastor or a professor or the president of a college. I want them to stand up and to give me some insight, some wisdom, so that I can understand some prevailing darkness in my life, whether it's inside or outside. Somehow we've equated wisdom with a person, with an individual who will somehow give it to us, and somehow that'll make sense of our lives. Maybe we've got that wrong. Listen to these passages again. I'll read a section here from Psalm 1 and a piece from the James passage. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on God's law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season. And their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper. And then this is from James 3. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom that comes from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. What does that say about wisdom? What struck me in reading the Psalm and James this week is that if we're searching for a definition of wisdom, it's not something we grab. It's not something I go to class to study and say, oh, there it is. Wisdom is not something I try to get for myself so that I can advance above others. No. Wisdom isn't something you grab, it's something you plant. Wisdom isn't something you grab for yourself, it's something you plant. Think about that. We plant a row of peace. We fertilize the good soil, anticipating a harvest of justice. We water this holy ground right here in this sanctuary. We water it with gentleness and mercy, and out of that comes wisdom. You know, in the church, we have a lot of committee meetings. Every church has committee meetings. People get tired of these committee meetings where people get together and they kind of hammer out their theology and their differences and what they want in the church and direction. But I am a true believer that a greater and more high-quality decision will come out of that process than if I just make this decision by myself or for myself. I've always believed that. You know, it's so much easier to make a decision by yourself, right? It's a lot easier, it's a lot quicker. You don't have to consult anyone. You can ignore what other people think. You don't have to email anyone. You don't have to talk to anyone. You get to decide all by yourself. It's so much easier to decide something without consulting other people, but I am not convinced that it's wiser. One cold and dreary morning in Italy, my hiking companions, Roland and Rudolph, and I set off down the mountain. They were expecting snow that day. We had not come prepared for snow and hail and rain. We just wanted to get going. We wanted to get off the mountain as far away from all that bad weather as we could. So we just started off without consulting a map, without really talking to each other. We just bundled up and started walking. We saw some people up ahead of us, two other hikers. We thought they must know what they're doing. We'll follow them. Big mistake. A little later on, after going down the steep ravine, muddy, slick ravine, we'd hiked for a couple hours, we could see one of the hikers turn back and come back to us. And then she said to us, "I don't think this is the right way." We could no longer see the other hiker. One of the hikers had torn off way ahead. We couldn't find her. But this other hiker said, I think we ought to consult a map. And so stepping out of the rain, we looked at our maps, we carefully looked at things, and we realized we were going the absolute opposite direction. And so we had to turn around, we had to hike for another hour and a half to get out of there, we had to cross a river, my boots got wet, we had to do all kinds of things to get out of that mess. And we never saw that other hiker again. Maybe she's still hiking out there somewhere. You know, it's so much easier just to go your own way. It's so much easier to think you know what is right, that you know what you're doing. It's so much easier just to set off in a direction and say, "I know where I'm going." But let me give you a pearl of wisdom. If you're in a hole, stop digging. If you think you're on the wrong trail, stop, check the map, talk to someone. And as you talk to other people, a higher quality decision will come out of that. That's what the hedgehogs do. They decide, despite their prickliness, that it's better for them to be together and consult together and adjust and forgive and work with each other than it is to be apart. James, I believe, summarizes his understanding of wisdom with these final words in the passage, "Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you." Now that's wisdom. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Why don't you say that? Let's say it together. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Uncertain about the path you're on? Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Bumping up against some prickly people these days? Having some difficulty getting along? Draw near to God, will draw near to you. Do you need wisdom? Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. And so because we are a community that discerns wisdom, we're not a whole bunch of individuals that just strike out on our own. Because we trust each other, let us turn now to our affirmation of faith, and let's stand together as we read this responsibly. The communion of saints.